All right, still talking about angels and demons. Are we sick of this topic yet? Really not. So, okay, we'll keep rolling then. Tonight we're talking about the origins of demons. And in specific, we're talking about where some of the more off-center ideas of where demons have come from are and what those are. The first one we'll look at is that demons are actually spirits of deceased wicked men or actually minor deities. That's an idea of what demons are, that they're actually really bad men and or women that have died and their spirits are still floating around out there pestering people or even little demigods running around. This is completely opposed to Scripture. Scripture is very clear that the wicked are confined and separated from human contact. So Jesus told a parable that illustrates this. And let's see what the text was. And I have it right here. Hold on. In Luke 16, verses 19 to 26. Luke 16 has the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus is transported into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man goes into Hades. And the rich man is approached by Lazarus, and he asks Lazarus to dip his finger into some water so he can have some relief from the torment. And he asks for Lazarus to go back and tell and warn his brothers about the fate that is awaiting them if they don't change their ways. And he is told that that is impossible, that there is a great gulf fixed, which we'll see in a moment, that cannot be bridged by those who have deceased. The second idea of where demons come from is that they are the spirits of a pre-Adamic race. So what they're saying is that basically between Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God said, God created the heavens and the earth, and then in Genesis 2:2, they say there's a gap in there. And that's the gap theory that evolutionists try to cram millions of years into. Well, basically what they're saying is that there was an entire civilization that lived and died before the creation of the world that now is, that there was this whole race of people that lived between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, and that pre-Adamic race, the spirits of those people are the demons of today. So again, this is contrary to Scripture. Once men die, they do not re-enter the world, but rather they await judgment. So we see that in Luke 16:26, this is from the text we just referred to. Besides this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. So that's not a biblical concept, that the demons are spirits of people, whether long past or current, that are still running around. That is something that is not biblically sound. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, inasmuch as it is appointed to men once to die, after this comes judgment. Not, you know, doomed to roam the earth in barren places. No, you go straight to the judgment after you leave this life. So there's no spiritual or scriptural evidence for that to be true. Luke 23:43 says, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Who said that? Christ on the cross to the thief. And that thief was not doomed to wander the earth. He went straight to paradise. And we can assume from the parable of Lazarus and the rich man that the other thief was not in paradise with Christ, rather he was in Hades with the rich man, not wandering around in the earth, pestering people. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and be home with the Lord." So when we're not in this body, we're not anywhere else here. We are taken out of this dimension, out of this realm, out of this physical three-dimensional place that we occupy, into a spiritual realm that, and we know that that spiritual realm can interact, but spiritually and scripturally, we see that that is not a allowed eventuality. Now, you might remember the case of the witch of Endor. Way back in 1 Samuel, there was a case where Saul was desperate for leadership from God, but God had pulled back because Samuel was off the scene now. There was nobody that was giving godly advice to Saul, and he was like, if only I could talk to Samuel. So in that day, it was completely forbidden in the book of Deuteronomy for anyone to go to a medium, someone who would try to communicate with the dead. And the witch of Endor does what Saul says and conjures up whatever she does. And there's different opinions about what happens next, because something happens and talks to Saul. A being talks to Saul. Now, there's debate about whether that's actually Samuel, that God just said, all right, go talk to that nut. And the other option is that was a demon who rose and was talking to Saul, because whoever that entity was gave Saul a prediction that all of his sons would die the next day, but some of them survived. So if it was an actual representation of Samuel, you would think he would have got that right. So there's division about what actually happened, but the biblical prescription is you don't go there. You don't try that. You don't do seances. You don't do Ouija boards. You don't do resurrections or of any sort. And the idea is not that, oh, well, that must be possible then. No. It's that you don't know what you're getting. Because demonic forces pretend to be the deceased spirits of those who have gone on before you. Because how better could they influence people than to say that they are people that they once knew, and to disguise themselves as them if necessary. So it's very important that we recognize that this is a biblical construct, that once we leave this life, we are not wandering around as disembodied spirits. A third theory is that spirits that we see today, demons, spirit, are actually spirits of the monstrous offspring between angels and demons. We see that in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4, where it talks about the Nephilim, who were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So that has been interpreted many different ways, but the plain reading of the text seems to be that there was a illegitimate offspring of demons and earthly women. Now, I don't know if God said that can't happen anymore and they're out of the picture now or what happened, but those were evidently the giants that existed, the mighty men of renown from the Old Testament. Goliath would have been one of the last of that variety. So, in this discussion, I want it to be clear that when people die, there is no further contact with that individual. Now, that's important because there is a huge interest in ghosts today. Vampires, zombies, all of this weird ideas of what happens after you die is, you know, spurred on by media and movies and books and all of these things. But interestingly, in 2006, there was a survey done of 4,000 American teenagers. And the survey revealed that 73% of those teenagers had, and I quote, engaged in at least one type of psychic or witchcraft-related activity beyond mere media exposure or horoscope usage. 73% of the 4,000 teenagers that were polled had been involved with a Ouija board, a seance. Actually, 9% of those 4,000 had been to a medium or attended a seance. And a seance is when you are literally doing what the Witch of Endor did. You're trying to communicate with the dead. Bad idea. Because biblically, that's not a possibility. Not a possibility that you won't talk to somebody. But it's impossible that that somebody is the person you're wanting to talk to. And that's the same idea. And in New Age philosophy and thinking, there's the concept of spirit guides. And that's the concept where when you meditate and you empty your mind, an entity will come to you and talk to you. I don't doubt that for a minute. Yes, if you empty your mind, Satan is very willing to fill it. And those spirit guides are nothing other than demonic forces influencing mankind. So we have to be very... And another interesting thing, that most of the people of those 4,000 teenagers that were polled, most of them who said they had seen ghosts, had previous witchcraft or seance experience. They had opened that door in one way or another. So we have to be very careful that we understand biblically what to do with ghosts. Because that was really confusing to me for a long time. Where did ghosts fit in to theology, to the biblical understanding of reality? And the bottom line is they don't. There is no place in biblical thinking for spirits of the deceased to interact with mankind. That is not a biblical thought. So, we have to recognize that that is the cultural understanding, that there's a television show on now called Ghosts. And they're all in this house, just palling around. They're from every era, and for some reason they all ended up in this house, and they're just having a grand old time. Might be a funny TV show, but it's not biblical. It's not something that you can think, oh yeah, I bet Joan of Arc is running around here somewhere. No, she's not. So we have to be very clear about what we understand about the afterlife, about spiritism. When you start looking into those things, when you start looking into Ouija boards and seances, and when I was a kid, Bloody Mary was a big thing. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Don't look into it. But that is simply a corridor, a portal, and an entryway for demonic forces to enter in and influence even Christians. Now, I would say in this context, Christians cannot be possessed. That means like the maniac of Gadara, who was completely controlled and filled with demonic forces. That is not a possibility in a Christian's life, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We already have somebody residing there. And Satan cannot, demons cannot possess Christians. But oppression is a very real possibility. Influence from the outside. Deceived from the outside. So if we're opening up that door, if we're opening up that interaction with actual demons, and we're thinking that we're talking with somebody that we're not talking to, the likelihood is we're going to be misled, even as Christians. So So we need to have very biblical understanding of the concept of demons, where they come from. We've already talked about where they come from. They were created by God, fell from heaven, and followed Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven. That's the origin of demons. They're not related to the death of humans on this planet. When we leave this planet, we're not here anymore. After this, the judgment. So we have to be very clear that we're not falling into the thinking of a book series or a movie that we saw or common cultural wisdom. All of that is not true. So you think about the television show Ghost Hunters. They were here in DeRidder. They're looking for ghosts. Is that what they're finding? I'm not saying they're not finding anything. I'm saying what they're finding is not what they're looking for. And it's not what they want. So this whole idea, most of what we're talking about, these other ideas of where demons came from other than created angelic beings, is based fully on conjectures. Just a stab in the dark. It's not based on truth.